Christ's holy name. Amen.
Privileged to be able to welcome you this morning, and I would greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Though we are entering into a business session, this is a worship service. We trust that God's Spirit will be here in great abundance. For a scripture reading, I have chosen to share with you from section 4, one that probably most of you have memorized by heart. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that you serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that you may stand blameless before God at the last day. Therefore, if ye have desires to serve God, ye are called to the work. For behold, the field is white, already to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up in store, that he perish not, but bringeth salvation to his soul. And faith, hope, charity, and love, with an eye single to the glory of God, qualifies him for the work. Let's continue with the singing of number hymn 425.
Sacred and holy name of Jesus Christ, we gather here in thy house this morning to worship thee in light and in truth. We pray, Father, that we might please you in our efforts and our deeds, We know that we are weak and thou art strong. And Father, as you have gathered and called your servants unto service, we pray that your Spirit might attend each one of them as they share their testimony of your calling to them in thy holy priesthood. Take us into thy care and keeping. Bless and protect us, and give us wisdom and insight. It's my prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
I think most know why we have gathered today. It's for the consideration of priesthood calls. And just for a moment, I'd like to just share with you from our branch bylaws. It says the Church of Jesus Christ, Saints Haven Rester Branch, will consider calls of priesthood when the branch pastor testifies that he received divine inspiration and shares this with his counselors as such calls are made. I've met with Alan and Clarence on a couple occasions and have borne that testimony to them of these calls. The bylaws go on and says, such calls will be reviewed by the Melchizedek priesthood. We presented these calls to the Melchizedek priesthood of this branch, and they had been approved there also. If accepted, it will be sent back to the pastor to review with the candidates. I have personally talked to each one of these young men. Most of them are young men. And they're all young at heart. And I have had opportunity to share with them about their calls and my experiences with that. Though maybe not to their satisfaction at times, I have tried to do the best I could in sharing with them of God's desire for them at this time. And once they have accepted it, it is to go back to the body, which is where we are right now. This morning, I think we're probably all familiar with the procedure. You know, we will have each candidate who will have the opportunity to speak to the body and share with them a statement or a testimony. And then the body will have opportunity to share individually about the particular priesthood call for that individual. This is a very important business meeting, for it is a life-changing event that we are observing today. Their lives will never be the same, and hopefully it's for the better. There will be challenges, and you have the opportunity to hold them accountable as they have the opportunity to hold each one of us accountable. The decisions that are made today are life-changing, and they have eternal consequences. So it's a meeting we go into with soberness and also rejoicing. We are recording the service, so we're going to take the mic and allow you the opportunity, so Brother Adams will bring the mic to you so that your statements can be recorded. So I would pray that you would bear with us as we do that. The first consideration, and the Bates family will be leaving, so they have another branch they're going to bring some ministry. So we told them we would consider Josiah first, that they might have that opportunity to get to that other branch and bring their ministry. So this time we will consider Josiah Bates to the office of priest. So Brother Josiah.
Good morning. I'd like to just start off with that I'm a sinner and in no way am I worthy before my Lord and Heavenly Father. He's granted me this opportunity by His grace to be a servant to this branch, and I pray that I'll be able to fulfill my duties and uplift you guys to the Lord, and I pray that you will always hold me accountable for anything I do or say. This week, the Lord has made it abundantly clear to me, as Dan presented the priesthood call to me, that that only by His power will I be able to accomplish the things that He will ask of me, and that there's nothing I can do or say that will ever help bring His kingdom, but only through Him. And it's been an amazing experience that the Lord has shared with me over this past few days, and I guess I'll share a brief testimony now. This last year on Caravan, the Lord saw fit to me after one of the services that one of the priesthood came up to me and talked to me afterwards, and he was like, "You have a call to the priesthood," and at the moment I was rather emotional and kind of started crying and walked off, and so he didn't have a chance to finish what he was going to say to me. And later on I composed myself and I went back and talked to him again. He's like, "If you're willing to accept and realize that the Lord is your strength, the Lord is going to call you to the priesthood, to the office of priest." And so that was a testimony that's stuck with me. And then Dan came up and talked to me, and I was just like, well, after two or three witnesses, everything is established.
Now you have opportunity to share, if you would like, in regards to Josiah, and then following that, we will take a vote on Josiah. So.
When Dan called me one day and was excited about the fact that Josiah by himself had made the decision to become a member of Saints Haven, the first words that came out of my mouth was that he had a priesthood call. I don't even know where those words came from, but they flowed out of my mouth. I'm going to go ahead and share about three or four more so that I don't jump up four more times. But I was out at Independence Center walking, and for years I've went out there and walked. And a year ago I was out there walking shortly after we went on our own, and I heard the words, "You're free." And I leaned up against the wall for a good long while because I was totally overcome by those two words, that that I was free and that this branch was free and that we were no longer under oppression, that we were free to go our way. I was out there walking two or three months ago, and I was in a crowd, and I just couldn't understand why in a crowd. But all of a sudden, four names came. And the first one was Josiah Bates, to the office of priest. And it's terrible to have glasses. But there was three more. And another one was Joe Kellinger, to the office of priest. And there was a third one, Richard Adams. And a fourth one, which was overwhelming. Brian Perry, to the office of deacon. And I never even gave it any thought. And as I've worked with Brian this summer and I've watched the growth in that young man, I'm just elated. And I was very excited. And so one day I brought it up to Dan. I said, "Are we ever going to have any priesthood calls?" And he said, "I'm working on it." So I patiently waited. He called one morning and said, "The pastorate needs to get together." I knew exactly what it was for. I came prepared with paper and pencil, and it happened. And during that time period, each one of the names that is going to be presented this morning crossed my mind. And Caleb's name came across really strong. So I'm very excited this morning for what it'll mean to this branch.
Okay. Also, since we have to leave, I might share more than just for Josiah's. Is that okay? Okay. I'll share for Josiah's first, though. Had an experience years and years ago. When I was 13, it was the year after I had had my reawakening by the Lord, where he had really brought me back to the truth. And I'd just started to come to understand what priesthood was really for. because before that, I'd had a right understanding, but then I'd lost it, and then the Lord was trying to reteach me everything that he taught me before, and during this time, I was understanding that it was a servanthood, that it was, that you were called by God, and that, you know, no one can do it except by the power of God, the gift that comes through the covenant that is made there, and, I was praying about it, and I was sitting in my room, and Josiah was playing with Legos next to me because he was, like, 11, and I just remember, I was like, Lord, what office is Josiah called to? And the Holy Spirit just fell on me and told me that the first office that Josiah would occupy would be the office of priest, and I knew that. And I have kept that inside my soul for years and years and never told anyone until now. And I'm really glad that I have the opportunity to share that. The second confirmation I had of that happened when 1 year Josiah had to leave senior high camp early. And my Uncle Doug had been the pastor of the camp. And he came to Josiah when he had to leave to go, I think, on caravan or something. And he said, Josiah, the Lord had a message for you that I thought I was going to share with you at the end of the week, but I guess I'll share with you now. And he said, Josiah, soon you will minister in the same capacity as your brothers. And I don't know the full extent of the message, but that was what Josiah shared with me. And I remember when he said that, the Holy Spirit just confirmed it to me again, that this is what the Lord is calling Josiah to now. And my second testimony is about Joe. He came and shared his testimony with me, and his beginning testimony with me at 70s reunion this year, and was asking for me to pray for him so that he could receive further confirmation. And I agreed wholeheartedly right then, and I decided to take the next day to fast him. And I went and fasted, and while I was fasting, just the Lord just impressed on my heart that yes, Joe is called to this office, and that the Lord was working with him and gave him testimonies in a way that was special to Joe, and that I wasn't supposed to just go up to him and be like, Joe, but I was supposed to wait for this time to be able to share my confirmation once he'd already accepted. So, Joe, yes, I have confirmation. You are called the office of priest. And, yeah, that's my testimony. So.
Well, I've already gone to each of the men and just told them that my heart is full with the joy of the Lord. And I've got to tell you that the testimonies you just heard from Josiah and his brother were never told to me. And when the confirmation a while ago was given me by the Lord that Josiah was called to the office of priest, I wondered at that. And I fasted and prayed that the Lord might make in mighty ways that known to my son. And now I hear that he already had. And I just praise the Lord for the confirmation which he gave me and for the confirmation which had already been gone before. And Wednesday he led our class before our prayer service, and just the profound understanding he talked to us about truth. And I knew that only God had given him that understanding and the way of presenting it to us, and I knew that God had already started working in his life in a way that would bless his people. And I thank you for this opportunity to stand and testify that I too support my son in this.
I work to the center of the aisle if you could.
I have to stand up and say this. Clarence and I have always shared our garden with the congregation where we've been. And one time when Josiah came to get things from the basket, and I loved that boy immediately when I seen him years ago in the congregation. And the words came to me, this boy is a special boy. So I know that his call is from God. I wasn't given the office, but I do know that God says he has a special service.
Seeing no one else,
we'll go ahead and... I'll go ahead and present the name of Josiah Bates to the office of priest. All those willing to support Josiah in that office, please raise your hand. Those opposed? It is carried. Our next consideration will be Richard Sanders to the office of elder.
I too am a sinner and unworthy. I'm always at awe when I see how the Lord uses me at times, whether I'm preaching or counseling or whatever he calls me to do. I'm always at awe that he can use me to minister at times to people and to fulfill his work. I too am going to take liberty and share a testimony about somebody else because it's intertwined with mine. Probably about a month ago, I've been a teacher in the church for a little over 5 years. And about 2 months ago, I started feeling impressed upon that I had a call to the office of elder. And it was a still small voice that would come to me pretty regularly. And I would contemplate that. And when I was called to the office of teacher, when I received my initial call, I wasn't given the office. And it took 2 years before that office was, before I was actually called. So I had 2 years to ponder that. And this time, I again thought, well, I got a few years to worry about being called the office of elder. At our last business meeting, me and Dan was up front, and we went back to the back to say a prayer. And Dan said a prayer for the business meeting, and then he said, I have a bomb to drop on you. And those are the last words I heard come from Dan's mouth. The Spirit flooded me so much that I didn't hear the words come out of his mouth, but the Spirit called me to the office of elder. And I actually, as we came out and I sat there, I got worried. I thought, well, what if Dan didn't say the elder? What am I going to do now? Later on that afternoon, somebody came up to me that was in the Melchizedek priesthood and congratulated me, and then I knew that the office was right. Along that, my stepson Brian, the same Spirit at the time I was being called the office of elder, I was having him pressed upon me that he was going to be called to the office of deacon. Brian's grown up a lot in the last year, like Alan said, through this JCRB issue. He's had lots of questions, and he's come to me and Stacy often seeking, and we always directed him to the scriptures for him to find things, but we would guide him. And he's grown up to be quite a young man, and we're very proud of him. I was so sure of Brian's call, and maybe I shouldn't have done it, but as soon as the business meeting was over, I went over to Stacy and I sat down next to her and I said, Dan's going to call Brian to the office of deacon today. And he did. Now you have opportunity to address Richard's colleague, office of elder.
Well, I just wanted to, we're leaving. Sorry about that. I just wanted to say that the Lord has impressed upon my heart that I've read over the names of those who presented today of the authenticity of those calls. And I pray for each and every one of you that the Lord will bless you and manifest his Spirit in you in a way that you can give service to his kingdom in these last days. Because there's so much need for that work to go forward. Thank you very much.
Too tight a quarter here for my feet. I watched Richard, he happened to be my grandson-in-law, but I've watched Richard for the last year or so and marveled at how he can minister as a teacher. And I knew that the elder's call was there, and I just knew that, and I just didn't know when. But I'm not one bit surprised when I heard it read and heard that he told us that he'd be called the office of elder. And I can't testify of Brian's. I have not been around him that much, even though he's my great-grandson. But I know that Richard and others have been called. I can, at this time, I'll just testify of Richard for a positive.
Okay.
Richard and I spend a lot of time on the telephone, and I was not, I knew he had a call, and I wasn't focused on the elder part. I just knew he had a call. But he's always been, well, I was in part of, stood up when they got married. Exciting time. And over the years, been a part of their life, and I just testify for his call to elder. I'm so excited about it.
I'll just share briefly a little bit of the confirmation I received at reunion before I even knew that Richard had a call. It was interesting to me when Chancey got sick of a reunion, and I overheard her talking with her grandpa about, do you want to be a minister too, and having that conversation, and she agreed she wanted to be a minister too, and George asked her, well, who do you want to do the administration? The first person she wanted to do that was Richard Sanders, and he kind of hemmed and hawed and said, well, honey, sorry, you know, he can't be that. But in that moment of hearing that conversation, and when this young child presented his name, it was just just a flooding awareness of the Holy Spirit confirming that even if he wasn't able to do that administration that time, that the day was coming and it was going to be soon, that he had that call. And I knew in that moment from the mouth of a small child.
Seeing no one else wishing to share, we'll go ahead and consider Richard Sanders to the Office of Elders. All those willing to support Richard in that calling, please show by raising your hand. Opposed? I carry. Now will be Vance Kellinger to the Office of Elder.
I had been getting inklings of this pending call for some time, the strongest being 2 days before Dan actually talked to me, when we were sitting in a meeting as Zara Hamill Branch with the Credentials Committee, and I was like, yeah, you're just seeing things that are, I didn't want to, I don't know, take that upon myself, or I was like, I'm not ready for that. And 2 days later, after a priesthood meeting, Dan came up to me and said, well, he didn't really come up to me. He followed me to my car, which was the opposite direction from his car. And he said, can we talk? And immediately, with all three of my calls, when the pastor is asked if we can talk, I've known why and for what office. And he told me, and my words to him, and then later to Rudy when he talked to me, I said that it's scary. And not scary in the physical sense, but scary in the fact that now, rather than administering the outward ordinances, I'm going to be doing I'm going to be expected to minister to the spiritual for this congregation. And I've never felt worthy to stand in front of this congregation instead of Jesus in the first place. And going to reunion, even though I'd already accepted, I was convicted of a number of things in my life that I still need to work on. And I guess God is kind of like my wife in the fact that he sees potential. Every house we ever looked at, Robin says, well, it has potential. And so that's the only thing I can think of. God's looking at me and saying, well, you've got potential. And My prayer is that I can develop that potential and serve this congregation in the way that God would want me to serve it.
Anyone wishing to speak?
Shortly after we left the Atherton group down there, I was watching Vance from a lot more regular and a lot closer relationship because he was here amongst a smaller group. And he stands among the big men, like Richard here. But I told Vance and I told my wife not too long ago, I said, Vance has got a better call, a higher call. And I bear more responsibility, and I told Vance that the other day, and I thought I was going to have to pick him up off the floor. I thought he might be getting a little bit of weak-kneed, but the assurance that I gave him that his call was, in my opinion, of the Lord. And I can testify that to everybody, that I feel positive that as I've watched Vance the last year grow and become what he is today.
I don't know how the Spirit works with each one of you all, because each one of us are different. We have different talents and different gifts and different nationalities, even though we go back to the original family. But as Dan had brought these names to the pastorate, which was Alan and I had that peaceful feeling. Alan had a greater testimony than I did. He had names given him. But as they were presented at my house where we met, I had that peace. And that peace that touches your heart. And so I would support each and every one of these brethren to their office and calling.
Dad, I will give us a prayer.
Seeing no one else wishing to speak, I will present to you now the name Vance Kellinger to the Office of Elder. Those willing to support Vance in that office, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. We'll now consider Joe Kellinger to the Office of Priest.
As it seems to be your theme here, I know I'm definitely not worthy of this calling. And the day that Dan had presented this calling to me was actually our last business meeting. It was the day that my quartet was to sing, and I was standing against the back wall waiting for the quartet to show up and waiting for the business meeting to get started. And he just popped up next to me and said, "Hey, can we talk?" And like a lot of the others so far, I knew immediately right then that that was what he was going to say. And though this isn't the testimony I want to share, let me just say that later that day, even though I know I'm not worthy and that I'm a sinner, through Jesus I know that those things are taken away. And in time's interest, I won't share that one with you, but the testimony I am going to share with my calling is, it was at reunion, and it was like Jonah had mentioned earlier, I had talked to him, and he told me that, you know, if I were to pray and fast about it, that I would receive my answer. And I didn't show it, I don't think, but in my heart I kind of scoffed at that. I didn't really think that that would happen this week, because I had a very specific testimony in mind that I wanted from God, and I didn't really see that fitting in that week. But over the course of the week, my prayers changed from, you know, this is the testimony I want, to, I know you work how you will. Whatever testimony you give me, as long as I know without a doubt that it is from you, I will accept it. And my prayers continued that way through the rest of the week, and it came to the dedication service, and Ron Smith was presiding, and he asked us, as families, to figure out what we thought that God was saying to us. And our family
we kind of did it a little differently. I think we first said what we thought God was trying to share with us individually first. And it got to my turn in the family, and I was actually, during the service, reminded of a scripture that I had found probably a year ago that was actually a revelation given to Hiram Smith, and it said somewhere there, "Seek not to declare my word, but seek first to obtain my word, then shall your mouth be opened." And that was the scripture I opened to, again, to share with my family what I felt that God was impressing upon me that day. Well, across the page in my scriptures is section 9, verse 3, and it starts out, it says, "Behold, you have not understood. You thought that you came asking, thinking I would give to you." And then it goes on to say, "But you must study it out in your mind first, and if it's right, you will experience a burning in your bosom, and if not, then you won't." And I just kind of looked at that. I mean, I have it underlined in my scriptures, and that's why it drew my attention. And I just kind of like, okay, that's nice. I didn't really take it to heart. But then Ron Smith, towards the end of the service, called Vernon Darling to share a message with the body. And as Ron was saying that, I just felt really impressed upon to, like, the words came to me, it said, "Take his words personal." And so I did. And the very beginning of what Vernon started saying was all about, he was talking to the church, but as I took them personal, he was talking about taking the gospel out into the world and being that witness for Christ. And one of the specific lines that stuck with me said, "Behold, this is not the end, but the beginning of your work." And, sorry. And that was just one of the few confirmations during that week that I was to be called to the work, and that it was soon going to be my responsibility to bring forth the work of the Lord in these last days.
So. Anyone wishing to share?
Robin and I have known probably since Joe got back from caravan last year, and seeing how on fire that whole group of kids was, that he and Josiah had a call. And I always felt that they were both to the office of priest, which turns out that they were. And so I would like to stand and support Joe and just bear my testimony that I believe that his call is true.
Give another mass confirmation. When I was having my experience about me and Brian, there was three other names that were given to me, and it was Joe, Caleb, and Mike. So I'm testifying to those three.
Seeing no one else wishing,
to share, I will present to you now the name of Joe Kellinger to the office of priest. Those willing to support Joe in that calling, please raise your hand. Opposed? We will now consider Caleb Postwaite to the office of priest.
As others have said, I've definitely been very humbled this week by this calling. I was actually up in Iowa working when Dan contacted me by email and was asking, I guess he didn't know I was up there, so he was asking if there was a chance we could meet after the Wednesday night service, and I let him know that I wasn't going to be there. And he said, "Well, can I call you sometime? What's your phone number?" And unfortunately, T-Mobile doesn't have very good coverage where we were. So I had to tell him, "Well, I can give you my phone number for future reference, but it's not going to work for us right now." And at that point, I was kind of suspecting that I was going to be getting a calling. And as I started reading his third email to me, I was just overtaken by the Spirit. when he was, in fact, calling me to the office of priest. Sorry. I guess I've known for a while now that I've had a calling. It was mentioned to me in my patriarchal blessing. It didn't say a specific office. But I've been, trying some to prepare for it, but I've definitely not felt worthy, and I suppose there was even times when I may have been fighting it some, because I know it's a big responsibility, and that feeling of the Spirit being overtaken on Wednesday definitely spoke to me, and I'd since talked to Dan about it a little more. I know a lot of people have a lot of testimonies about their callings, and I didn't know if I needed more than that, if I should be continue to seek, instead of allowing my name to stand this Sunday. But it kind of came to me that, you know, if God's ready for me to be up here, then I'm definitely not going to drag my feet. And, you know, he knows better than I do, and I definitely have gotten that confirmation, even though I decided not to wait around for it too long. I had what I needed, and, you know, it was enough for me. And then today with other people saying that they had gotten confirmations of my name, it's definitely been overwhelming as I sat here, so thank you.
Would there be anyone else wishing to speak? I said I was going to say it all up front, but Caleb and Beth, as they came back into our group, I was really impressed. And I was really impressed with Caleb one day. His parents have raised him well, and we've known him since he was a little guy. But I visited with him one day, and I was just so impressed. And I prayed for him all winter, as I knew of the struggles that he was having with the job. And as the first seven priesthood calls came, Caleb's name wasn't in the bunch because he wasn't a member. And so it was extremely exciting that he and Beth decided to join, and that his call was able to be processed. And as Joe and Vance's calls were coming, I just kept having the feeling that this family's not complete. It's complete now.
I'm not a member here. Does anybody have any objection if I speak? Okay. Thank you. His mother and I have been very aware of his calling for several years now, and we've been very proud of the way he turned out also, not any reflection on us, but on the Lord's influence in his life. He's had a servant's heart all his life, and he's always caring about others, and that's been a pretty good confirmation to us. And then a couple of years ago, he was the president of the RCM group down in Columbia, and he asked me if I would go speak down there. And while I was doing that, he was kind of taking charge of the meeting and going through the business and the activities that lead up to the talk. And the Lord really impressed upon my mind that he did have called the office of priest. And so I would just stand to confirm that and to pray that the Lord would bless him.
I guess maybe it was my error. You are not limited. Anybody can speak at this meeting, so you don't have to be a member of the branch. So if anybody would like to speak, that it is open to anybody. So thank you, Ray, for sharing.
Bonnie was first. Ladies first.
One white head to another white head here. This is another young man I've watched down through the years. And when his grandmother's in the hospital, and we'd go to visit her, there was Caleb always, Caleb was there, and the love that he showed, it was just so admirable. And I had a feeling then that this young man has a special work too, but so I never had anything given to me in an office, but I do know that he had a priesthood calling coming. He is a special young man.
I'm kind of like Alan. In the first list of people for the priesthood calls came through, there were two names missing, and I was kind of wondering how come. Well, Josiah hadn't been approved as a member, and I don't think Caleb had either until just very recently, anyway. And I think I'm on a membership committee, so I know when they go in. And Dan was worried about where this membership sheet's at. And I said, well, I gave it to Ben, and Ben had to take it over to George's. But those two names were missing, and I knew something was wrong there. There should have been two more names on it.
I debated on standing up because I'm not sure if I can keep my emotions in check, but kind of waiting till all three of the names in my household were presented, and I can just speak on all of them. First, I want to address Vance's call, and I want to do it first by way of we're called to confess our faults publicly sometimes. And when Vance told me about his call, I have to admit I didn't react favorably. And I think he has since forgive me for that, but I just want to stand publicly and repent of that. But as the Lord and I worked through that, and I recognized that I did not respond in a way that was fitting of a handmaiden of the Lord, I was made keenly aware that perhaps this call is not because of where Vance is at now, but it will be a vehicle to bring him to the point where God wants him to be. And after being able to look at it that way and having that confirmation, I knew without a doubt that God is calling him to the office of elder. And for Job's confirmation, he says, as Vance already said, you know, we've known for a year or two, and we have both felt like it's been that the calling was the office of priest, so it wasn't a real surprise to us. And without getting into all of the testimonies that Joe has had in the last year or two, if any of you have ever been friends with him on Facebook, he writes his testimony page after page after page of the way God has moved in his life. And as Karen alluded to Josiah, I've also been able to experience with my son the depth and the understandings that God has opened up to him when he studies out an issue. And I just have appreciated his ministry that he offers already so much. And he seems kind of a quiet guy, but he has such a deep passion for the Lord. And he has such a ministry to offer that I just am thrilled to know that God is calling him to move forth at this time. And I look forward to that ministry that he will be offering. And my heart is just full for Caleb. We have been so privileged to count him as one of our own the last couple years. I was just commenting to Karen Bates the other day. I said, it's amazing to me how quickly someone who's totally outside of your family for years and years and years can come in and move under your roof and become one of the family. I can't imagine life without my second son. And when Vance and Joe received their calls and Caleb's name was on the list,
I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know why Caleb didn't have a call, because I knew in my heart he had that calling. And we get a little mouthy at our house sometimes. And so Caleb will testify that we were kind of mouthy when Caleb went, oh, gosh, Caleb, if you go to church once in a while, maybe you would have got your call. And just giving him so much grief. Poor guy. And then I felt bad about it, but we were just giving him so much garbage. And of course, I hope he'll testify too that I made it right later and told him I was sorry for being so mouthy. But I knew in my heart that he had a call. And as already been alluded to, I too have seen that servant's heart of Caleb. It's such a way to describe Caleb. He's just got such a servant's heart. And I just want to stand and testify of I too have seen a great growth in his life and the efforts that he's been making. And it's been a real privilege to have him live with us. And I feel honored that God has allowed that to be that way, because I have just really appreciated Caleb and the things that he offers.
Seeing no one else wishing to share, I will now present to you Caleb Postlethwaite to the Office of Priest. Those willing to support Caleb, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. We'll now consider Brother Rich Adams to the Office of Priest.
As we got down the list, I think the heat come up in here or something, you know. Everybody tells me they're freezing in here always, and it's because you're sitting down here. Up here is a lot hotter. And the ceiling is closer up here, so I do. Yeah, would like to confess I'm not worthy. There's a number of times when I was a deacon that I think your hardest criticism is yourself. And I've known about this call for quite some time. And we'd have other ordinations and meetings like this, and I know it was meant as a compliment, but I'd have two people come up to me and says, "You're going to be a lifetime deacon." And that probably sounded a compliment on her end of it, but on my end of it, I'm like, well, that ain't that bad. It's the most wonderful office you'll ever hold. And you men called to a priest that never be ready to assist a deacon at any time, because it's the most fantastic office there is. That you get to touch the people so close. I'm going to try to hold it together here, so. But throughout, I don't even know, I was going to look it up, how long I've been a deacon. Many moons have passed. And a lot more gray hair has passed. So I tried to serve that office the best of my ability. And I stand today and tell you that I'll try to serve as a priest the best of my ability. I got a secret to tell you, that I don't have any patience. I never have. I've tried to find them in stores. My wife has tried to teach me patience, and I don't have them. And so when I heard about, Dan took me outside and told me about the call of a priest, I was real slow to accept it. And if you notice the bulletin come out, and we print the bulletin, my wife does, and my name wasn't on it because she'd already printed the bulletins when I was baling hay and accepted it 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And then the last few days, I was ready to duck, tail, and run, because I don't want to leave the office of deacon. But somehow the Lord has took this rag and called me forth to be a priest. And I promise you I'll do the best I can to serve that. And it's going to be hard to step down the deacon duties. But I'll be ready to assist at any time. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to share?
I got good news for you, Richard. Building committee is going to teach you patience. A year ago, I chased Richard all the way to McDonald's, a little over a year ago, early one morning, because he was distraught as we were leaving Atherton, and I told him that he had a priesthood call. And I was frustrated for the whole year because I felt like it was then, not now. But he was one of the four names that, four names, five names, whatever it is here, got them written down, but that came across to me at Independence Center. And I totally rejoiced, and I didn't mention early, but my knees just about went out from under me. I was just so amazed that the Lord would share something like that with me. But his was one of the names, and I too was a deacon, and it was the greatest time of my life. And I know that the Lord would tell you, Richard, that if you are faithful in this call, that there'll be more calls.
After Dan talked to me, he implied that there were more calls. I didn't know that there were this many at that time, but as I was pondering them, Richard Adams was a person that came to mind, and the office priest popped into my head, and I was like, no, Richard's a deacon. He's a good deacon. But no, he's supposed to be a priest. I waffled back and forth and argued within myself, and I told this to Richard last week, and I had the impression that this is probably what Richard was going through, a lot of back and forth struggles, and knowing that he had a call, and being very comfortable and enjoying the work that he does, but I will fully support Richard as a priest.
No one else? I'll present you now the name of Richard Adams to the office of priest. All those willing to support Richard, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. Now we'll consider Mike Hancock to the office of priest.
I'd like to start off sharing something that happened to me many years ago when I was 14. I was in a reunion setting, and the closing service, you know, many of you probably can relate how important those moments can be in life, and it was very touching service to me personally, and I was really feeling a strong benefit from being there all week and then a part of the service, and one of the men up front stood towards the close of the service, and he spoke under the direction of the Lord, and he shared with a few of the people in attendance. He called them out by name, and I was one of them, and he said, you know, just paraphrase, he said, if you prepare yourself, one day you'll be called into the Lord's priesthood. And you know, just like the men before I have shared today, I felt unworthy, and I still do today. And I wish I could tell you that from that day forward, I was diligent about preparing, and that I was seeking that out. But that wouldn't be true. I didn't always do that. But I would like to tell you now that moving forward, I will make a better effort. And normally when I'm faced with a challenge in life or a task that may not make me comfortable, I try to charge straight ahead and go after it. And I have to admit, when Dan pulled me aside and talked to me a few weeks ago, I didn't have that same drive that I typically do. But I just wanted to share with each of you here that, you know, it was confirmed to me that I should accept this call, and I'm very excited about it. We look forward to serving in the priesthood with my father. And it's just something that I've been looking forward to sometimes and not always other times, but I am excited, and I appreciate your support.
Anyone else wishing to share?
Thank you very much for having me this opportunity to come into your branch and share in my confirmation of this priesthood call. I've felt the Spirit here today and been touched by it and felt moved upon each of the offices, and really envy this branch as you continue to grow and be a part of God's kingdom here in these last days. I've known Mike for quite some time. I'm his dad. And I got a couple of experiences I'd like to share with you, and I've never shared the details of these before. I've been waiting for this day. And, I've known him quite some time, and I remember the day that he came into this world. He came a little bit early. This is before the days before we knew whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And I was standing at the entrance of the delivery room while he was coming, and my cousin was the RN nurse on duty, and she was about ready to deliver him. And I saw the doctor, he was coming fast. He's always been in a hurry, like he says, he likes to go ahead. And I remember that doctor coming down the hallway, putting his coat on, going in, and it seemed like a matter of minutes. He says, "It's a boy." And, I immediately thanked the Lord, because my first child is my daughter, Lisa, and now he blessed me with a boy. And I remember feeling God's Spirit touching me and wondering what a wonderful blessing that was. And then a few months later, we was at church. And this is before, this is back in the days when the church had not split up. And I had Mike in my arms. I was in the back of the service just walking. You know how the little ones can be a little disruptive. And I was just walking with him. And the Spirit touched me and said that my son will have the opportunity to someday to be in the priesthood. And it was just as powerful experience as when I heard that I had a son. And then jump a few more years forward, and I was directing a camp, and Mike was, when is his teenage years, 13, 14 years old. And he was no different than many of the other young men on the campgrounds. You had to watch him at night. He would prone to raid the kitchen at night and play practical jokes. But, the Spirit again touched me that Mike, my son, will have the opportunity. And it's funny, he shared what he shared about he felt like if he made preparation. And the same words came to me when he makes the preparation, when he prepares. The Lord had a work for him to do. And now I see him, and he's no longer that little infant, and he's no longer that little short-haired boy I saw in junior high, but now he's a young man married to a beautiful young lady, Hannah. Really appreciate the help that she's brought to him, and perhaps he's not quite as stubborn as he used to be. I think she's been a great addition, and then his father-in-law, Dan, the spiritual side of it has been really a great benefit to him. And I'd just like to stand and share and bear my testimony that Mike does have a calling to the priesthood, and I appreciate this opportunity to share with you brothers and sisters.
I've had the opportunity to work on their other house and their house they're living in now. And it's always amazed me the spirit Mike and Hannah carry. And I say Mike and Hannah because this is a package deal. You'll find out it's a little bit different right before Mike preaches. There's a little bit different attitude and drive and It happens that way around our house. But I was overwhelmed by the Spirit. And we had a service there at their house, blessing their home. And the Spirit just overwhelming to that he had more in store for Mike at that time. I kept waiting for your name to appear. And I was excited when it did.
I told Mike I wasn't going to stand today, but I couldn't not stand. I've known for a long time that he had a priesthood calling. Back when we were dating 8-9 years ago, we were at an older youth camp, and we were sitting in the dedication service, and when the priesthood walked up front, all of a sudden my vision was changed, and I saw Mike walking up front with the priesthood. And the Lord just rested on my heart right then that he had a calling, and one day he would be standing up there with those men. And a few weeks ago, I get to work with my dad on and off. And so I get to hear phone conversations and stuff. He's always excusing himself for all his phone conversations. And one day he got a phone call and he walked away and went to go take it, and I knew something was going on immediately, I started pondering what was about to happen. And the next day he said that they had had a priesthood meeting, and I said, was it a good one? And he said, yes, there were some priesthood calls that we discussed. And when he said that, I knew the Spirit rested on me that Mike was one of those men. And so I waited for him to have that conversation with Mike. And Mike said, well, your dad talked to me tonight. And I said, oh, yeah? What did he have to say? And he said, well, he said that I had a priesthood calling. And all that I could say was, I know. Because I've known for a long time that it is a true calling. And I will try to support you as best that I can in the office.
Obviously, I've known Mike all his life, and yeah, we maybe haven't always gotten along, but as we've gotten older and going to youth camps together, the impression would always come over me that he's going to be in the priesthood someday, and I always looked forward to it, and I kept thinking, okay, Lord, when is he going to come, be called, and my patience, I say I have good patience, but not always. And so I kept praying that his call would come. And then a few days ago, Mike called me and invited us to come here for service. And he told me why. And my heart just filled with joy. And I was so happy. And I'd like to confirm that of his priesthood call.
Seeing no one wishing to share, at this time I'll present to you the name of Mike Hancock to the Office of Priest. All those willing to support Mike, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. Brother Gary Fry will now consider Gary Fry. As most of you know, Gary's work schedule is kind of different, and he's out of town a lot. And I've had opportunity to talk to Gary, and we've emailed back and forth, and we discussed this morning's activity. And you know, I said we could have several options here. We gave him a plan B and a plan C. And this morning we chose, Gary has made a statement. He emailed me a statement, and he asked if his wife Virginia could read it for him. So at this time, Virginia. And we'll consider Gary Fry to the Office of Priest.
Okay, right now Gary is in Indiana working, so he emailed this notice to Dan via email. He said, I feel honored to be called to serve to the Lord in the office of priest. I know that the Lord doesn't ask more of us than we can do, so I am sure that he will give me the strength and ability to work in whatever capacity he chooses to use me. I also feel honored to be serving the good people of Saints Haven. I ask for your continued prayers. Thank you, Gary Fry. Well, I just want to say that Gary is, you know, he's got a big heart, and I always tell Betty he's always reading books about church history, and he can tell you anything you ask him about church, and he will be a very good priest.
Absolutely. When I saw the list, oh, I felt so good about all of it, every single one. One in particular, who is one of my best friends, is Richard. Many years ago, when we were at Atherton and Frey was pastor, and we'd heard some terrible news, and I sat in the lobby and was crying, and Richard came and put his arms around me. And from then on, he has been there so many times, and he knows that, when I was really having some great trials. And he gave me priestly ministry many, many times. I said to a lot of people, I don't dare say anything about Richard because he'll be there to do it. Whatever it is that I want done, he'll be there. But I want to say that I feel very good about all the callings, but I had a definite one about my brother Gary. I really had never thought, because as time went on, I'd never really thought about Gary being in the priesthood. But I was sitting right over there one Sunday morning, and I was sitting right beside of him, and the Lord's Spirit came upon me so strong that I knew he was going to be called to the priesthood. So when church was over, I took him out into the kitchen, and I said, Gary, I got something exciting is going to happen to you, but I can't tell you what it is. He said, well, okay. So I've waited all this time. And Sunday, when I saw that it was out that Gary knew, I couldn't wait till Sunday night to call him. And I said, Gary, do you remember when I told you something wonderful was going to happen? And it was this, that you were going to be called to the priesthood. And I thought how important it is that all of you that have been called have, I know Fred down through time, he struggled one particular time, is really struggling from being called to be an elder. And he was having, and he again loved being a priest. He really, really liked that. And he didn't, but anyway, then one particular one came and talked to him, and he said, oh, I know now. It was a real, other people came, and he felt good about that. But I know how important it is, and that Gary knows that other people realize and recognize his calling. So the Lord is good. He's always good. And hearing your guys' testimonies of what has happened to you, because when I saw that list, I would have said yes, 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 all the way down the line. Yes, yes, yes. So I just thank you for the opportunity to tell you that I feel, know that the Lord gave him this calling. Thank you.
I guess most of you know I call Gary my son. We've knew him since he was pretty small, but he grew up on us. But in his college days, he had a habit of stopping by my house, and I got to know Gary quite well. It seemed like he was interested in my oldest daughter at that time, and that didn't work out. But Gary has always been close to my heart. We've always had that bond of fellowship and joking around, which I'm a big joker. But I know that his heart, and I know his heritage, and I know that the Lord respects a man that is truthful to his vows. And so I would support Gary in his call to priest.
I've known Gary. We were in high school together. I think he's a year older than I am. We were in band together. He was a trombone player. And I can remember him plain as day, sitting there playing his trombone. And we've known the Fry family. We lived beside him for years. And have always had the highest respect for the Fry family. So it's always puzzled me why Gary didn't have a priesthood call, and I know, because I've lived around him all of his life, that he's had many struggles, but even through all of that, I've always pondered why he didn't have a priesthood call. So I, like Betty, was just thrilled to death when Dan presented his name that day, for I truly am confident that he has this call and that he will be a real asset to our congregation.
Seeing no one else wishing to speak, I'll present to you now the name of Gary Fry to the office of priest. All those willing to support Gary, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. Now we will consider Brian Perry to the office of deacon.
About a month and a half ago, I was praying for a bunch of many things, and I distinctly remember me saying, "Lord, I don't know how much more I could take you putting these big things on my mind for me to pray about." And then it was real funny, that Sunday, Dan comes walking down the aisle and hauls me out the door, and he said, "Brian, you've got an office to deacon." And we walked back in, and that was the Sunday Vernon Darling was speaking to us. And there at the end, he had all the, he asked who the oldest father was, and my great-grandpa Vernon stood up. And then he asked all the grandfathers stand up, and they all stood up, and my grandpa was sitting next to me. Then he asked all the fathers, just fathers stand up, and they all stood up. And he said, "Now, all the young men who wants to be all like these older men, stand up." And I stood up there next to my grandfather, and he looked over at me, and he gave me a hug, and he said he's real proud of me. And then we sat down, and right there at the after the last song played, and all the men up front went and walked down, my grandpa looked over at me, and he said, "So what'd Dan have to tell you?" And I said, "Well, you're his counselor, so I'm pretty sure you know what he talked to me about." And he looked at me, and he says, "Oh, I'm really proud of you, Brian." He gave me a hug, and we both started crying next to each other. And Dan told me to pray about it and get back with him. So I prayed about it for 3 or 4 weeks. And there at 70's reunion, I went and got my patriarchal blessing. And Vernon Darling, he told me that I've got a work to do in the priesthood. And so that was another confirmation. My grandpa told me his testimony. That was another one. And then Richard, my stepdad, told me his. And so after Vernon Darling told me what he did, the next day I went up to Dan and I told him that I accepted. And so that's my testimony of my confirmation. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to share?
Didn't work too good to cover this all in the opening statement. I just went weak in the knees at Independence Center when Brian's name was in that group, because I hadn't even given a thought about Brian being in the priesthood. When Brian was a little guy, he used to imitate the reel of a combine, how a combine would harvest and it would go like this. And I can remember him sitting in the car and imitating the reel of the combine. And about 5 years ago, Brian and I had the opportunity to go to the John Deere factory and watch combines be built. He came out of there that day and said, "I'm going to build a combine out of cardboard." And so for the next, I don't know how many miles, almost to St. Louis, he sat there contemplating how he was going to build this combine out of cardboard. And fast forwarding to the last few years, as I've watched Brian grow and as I've watched the struggles that he's had, as he has three church homes, not just Saints Haven, but he has two others, if you count his fiancée, Milena. Tell them they might as well get married. But anyway, I've known of the struggles that he's faced, and I've cried out many times to the Lord on his behalf, for he's had many influences that have been pulling him in many different directions. And so I was just thrilled that the Lord saw fit to call him to the priesthood of Saints Haven Branch. And Brian, your Lord loves you. Your family loves you. And this is just the beginning.
I've got a lot of thoughts running through my head for Brian. I think it's fitting that, Mike, that your dad's here. I think when you preached at Saints Haven, you made the statement that when adolescent boys, especially 8th grade boys, that you get more than two of them together, the IQ immediately drops. And in many instances, it's no different with Brian and his friends when they get together. However, it's been a real privilege for me because I have a little bit of advantage over most of you in this room as far as being able to see the growth that Brian has gone through. I get to see Brian, at least I did until he graduated, on a daily basis up at school. And I get him during the rowdy time during the lunchroom, and so I've seen all kinds of sides to Brian. But what Brian probably doesn't realize is that those times when I'm walking around, they probably think I'm looking for people to get in trouble and trolling, which there's some truth to that. But more often than not, I'm walking around and looking for guidance as to who should be placed in my heart for prayer. And I pray for those kids in that lunchroom as I walk around and do my Nazi duties and make sure that they're not throwing food and not texting with their cell phones in their pockets or whatever. And on many occasions, I would walk over to Brian's table and just check on him and just felt so impressed to keep him in my prayers. And I'd whisper a little prayer for that little group at the table. And through that process, the love for Brian in my heart has just grown and grown and grown. And I have seen such growth in him just in the last year compared to how he's been in earlier years. And Brian's also one of those people that I see a servant's heart in. I see this young man as having such a big heart and such a love for this congregation and for those around him. There are times that he wants to be a little ornery and gets a little squirrely, but I never, ever, ever, ever doubt the love that God has put in that heart for him and the capacity that he has to serve. And I've known for a while that there is a calling for Brian, and it just thrills my heart to see it come to fruition. And I look so forward to the ministry that he'll provide for this congregation. And just a thought kind of came to my mind when I hear the testimonies of the struggles that he's gone through. I'm reminded of something a friend of Joe's used to say quite a bit. And she used to say, you know what, if the devil ain't bugging you, you're doing something wrong. So Brian, remember those times. Remember, if you feel like the world is caving in on you, it's because God's got a greater work for you, and the adversary is going to be picking at you to try to keep you from doing it. But I commit to continue holding you up in prayer, as I know this congregation will as well, and we look forward to that.
I kind of grew up going to school with Brian for most of my life, and like a lot of people, this never really crossed my mind. It was mostly because I was hanging around my little group of friends. You know, they were the grade below me, and we just didn't really start meshing until high school, really. But my testimony of this calling is, you know, the day that Vernon Darling came and preached here was the day that my quartet sang, and I can assure you that I know the spirit that Brian was feeling, because as Vernon gave that charge to the young men, he said, young men, do you want to be like these who have stood before you? And at that time I was contemplating my calling, and so I stood up knowing that, you know, this was kind of, in a way, that I was standing up because I wanted to accept that calling and I wanted to serve the Lord in whatever capacity I could. And then I remember looking back, we were sitting in the front row, and I remember looking and seeing Brian standing next to his grandfather, and my heart rejoiced because I saw Brian standing up. And I know now that he was feeling a lot of the same things I was, and I can assure you that the spirit I was feeling then, I know that Brian's calling is true.
Seeing no one else wishing to share, I'll now present to you the name of Brian Perry to the Office of Deacon. All those willing to support Brian, would you please raise your hand? Opposed? That was all the names that we had to present this morning, and I'm going to ask Brother Ben, would you take the microphone to Brother Rudy? And could those men whose names have been presented stand? And Brother Rudy, could you offer a special prayer for these young men?
Almighty God and Father of all mankind, we're grateful for the opportunity in this day and age for the preservation of thy church, and have been able to live to see once again the opportunity for men to be called into service of God. We recognize that one of the distinctives of this gospel is, in fact, to have a priesthood that is called not by men, but by God. And we pray that those who have been called this day and have committed themselves to answering that call will be given an added portion of thy spirit to guide and direct and to enlighten them as they go about their duties and responsibilities. We're mindful also that the call that rests upon them is not only to them but to their families, to their friends, and to all mankind. And we pray that as they hasten to fulfill that call, that the image of the Lord Jesus Christ might be visible in them, and their actions and their words and their deeds might testify to all whom they come in contact with, that indeed their call is from on high, and they worship and answer to the greatest and highest power of mankind. We place them in thy care and keeping, asking that these things shall be done in thy name, and that through their efforts the kingdom of God shall be brought closer to earth, and in a very short time thou shalt come to reign over all of us. We pray these things for thy work, for thy glory, for thy honor. In the name of thy Son, Jesus, amen.
We've gone over our normal time. When we were trying to decide how long this service would last, we said, well, it could last an hour and a half. Well, we're almost right at an hour and a half. So, we're registered with the state of Missouri as a not-for-profit corporation, but the thing we did today was not job promotions. These are not promotions to higher positions in the corporation. These are called to servanthood. And doesn't matter if the call was to an elder, priest, or deacon, each one is responsible and important in the sight of God and to this branch and to the work of God. Again, I thank you for your patience and ask that you stand, and Brother Clarence will Brother Allen will dismiss us with a prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, what a joy to be here this day. What a joy to know that you're alive and well and that you still call men in this day and age. And what a joy to see these young men respond. This is the future. What a joy. Please give each one of us the strength that we need to support these young men, to mentor these young men, so that they might reach the full potential, dear Father, that you have in mind. We know that the kingdom is at hand, and that you are just waiting upon a righteous people, dear Father. Help us to be that righteous people. Help each one of us to realize our calling, that it is to the world, to a sick and dying world, that it is to every corner of this world, dear Father, not just here. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to be your servant, to be a part of this little branch in this little corner of the world called Saints Haven. Please keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Just,